The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter, beginning with verse 36. Jesus said, "Concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake. You do not know on what day your Lord is coming, but know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Please remain standing. In the name of Jesus, dear sons and daughters of God, the basis of our meditation this morning will be Isaiah chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 24. And we will meditate on the message in the blink of an eye. Anytime we just heard our Savior Jesus that the Lord could come and we must stand before Almighty God, it can happen just like this. What will you say on that day when you stand before God, the one whose divine scrutiny sees it all of your life, in a moment's notice? Who can discern everything you've thought and said and done, and left undone and said unthought that you should have thought and said and done? What will you say on that day when you have to stand before Almighty God? What will you say on that day? What word can you share? Please be seated. Happy liturgical new year. Save the bee. It's Advent, and I know we have the wrong liturgical season on the back of our bulletin, but it's Advent 1. And, you know, the church for hundreds of years has wanted to give the big picture of the faith, what it means, what God has promised, what God has said will come true. And so for hundreds of years, the church has followed the liturgical church year to think about the work of Christ and the life of the church. And today it's a brand new church year. It's Advent, a time for us to look forward to say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." Now, unfortunately, for a lot of people, the liturgical church year is nowhere in their heart and mind, and yet it's an important teaching tool to help us to celebrate what God has said, and God has promised. He has made it plain in His scriptures that He'll be back. One day, Jesus will stand on the earth to judge the living and the dead. The sky will roll up like a scroll. The earth and heavens will be melted in intense heat. Talk about climate change and global warming. It's going to be an amazing moment, and it can happen in the blink of an eye. But what's really cool about it is what Jesus will come and do. And we got a glimpse of that in our Old Testament reading, when they will beat their swords into plowshares, when there will come a time when people will actually want to go to church and want to learn about what God has to say and grow. And God will end the disputes of the nations. Now, I would like that to happen today. How about you? Amen? So could it be that before today is over, the Lord will return? I hope so. You know, it's the season of Advent. The color on the altar is blue. It's a time for us to look to the future with hope. And we know in this world, our hopes can be dashed in so many ways. But God wants us, because of the first advent of Jesus and what he did on the cross, to have a hope born of the gospel, living within us, knowing that no matter how hopeless it can be, we have a hope that nothing can take away and rob us of because of what God has done for us in his Son. And so the color is blue, like blue skies. And if there's a place in your life right now where you feel like your hope is being choked, look to the Lord and ask him to bless you like only he can. Because that's what Advent is all about. We look forward to our Savior's return because he already showed up once, his first Advent, to change our lives, to take the curse of God away from us. I mean, think about it. When he comes back, he'll take away the curse forever. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord. And if we weigh 500 pounds in heaven, we won't care because it's heaven. Christ will take away from you and me the burden that we must bear all our days. You know, in your life and my life, we drag around a sinful body that just wants to mess up our lives. When Christ comes, he'll free us from that forever. It's been a long time ago, but someone in one of my many basics classes shared with us at the beginning of our study that he was perplexed by his dad on the day that he died. His dad told the whole family that on the day he was dying, it was the happiest day of his life because he knew he was meeting Jesus. And that plagued this man all of his life. He didn't understand his dad. And well into his 70s, he shared that with us. Well, he was living with his sons. And he was with his one son, and then he went to another son in a different community far away. But he stopped in and he told me that he now knew why the day of his dad's death, his dad could say, "This is the happiest day of my life because I get to meet Jesus." Think about it. When the Lord returns, we'll be free of our sinful nature that messes with our lives in so many ways across the spectrum of our life. And we will see forever and we'll have life. And if this world has afforded many things to take comfort in, we haven't seen anything yet. A new heaven, a new earth. And I'm glad to say it, but I've known people that have wanted to be rid of the farm and away from farming, but here's the deal. We get a little hint on what forever is going to be about, beating swords into plowshares. Now, if there's farming in heaven, we won't care because it's heaven. And think of the things that we can grow in our gardens that nothing will spoil or wreck. Because I've been pretty good at growing things only to see other things take care of them for me and have no benefit from them. How about you? A garden in North Texas? Hardly even tried. I gave up before I got to Texas. But I am trying to grow succulents. And you've heard enough about succulents, so I won't talk about them anymore today. But think about it. There will come a day when it'll be nothing but life. I mean, who wants to wait for that? Let's have it today. But if the Lord tarries, it's for this purpose, that people who do not have the knowledge of salvation can have the knowledge of salvation. Because that awesome day when the Lord returns, there will be some who will be doing nothing but shaking in their shoes, scared of what's happening. But for us who know the truth, we'll say, hey, this is the day. This is forever, and it's coming now. But for many, when they stand before God, they'll have nothing to say. They'll be lost, they'll be discovered, and they'll be judged to face the wrath of God forever. God's will for the human race is to behold and believe in his Son. And God has chosen to work through us. For many churches, for many Christians, mission is an option. It's not something we do. And yet, that's the very reason why the church exists, so that we can tell others the good news, that we can baptize and teach, that we can encourage, not only to look forward to the life to come and the hope that we have in that, but the life that God would have us now to live out the symbolism of the candles of Advent, that we can live out our lives in hope and peace and joy and love. And even when those things are robbed of us, we know that God is bigger than anything and everything we face. And we can talk with Him about what we're going through so He can restore to us the joy of salvation. You know, it's fascinating. I guess this is what happens when you get to be middle-aged. You look at all your stuff, and if it's not broken, it's wearing out. It's definitely got a lot of chips. And, I mean, think about it. When the Lord comes, it'll all be new. And we won't be living under the curse. How did the song go right before our gospel reading? He comes to make His blessings known. Far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. Isn't it nice to know that to your life, He has come to remove the curse, to give you His love and forgiveness, to place His Spirit within you so that you can live in all the crazy changes that take place in our world with hope, with hope, with hope. And that's the message we share. And that's what Advent is about. So may the Lord work in and through you to share the message that changes lives. You know, it's fascinating. Oftentimes in the gospel readings, we encounter people that somehow learned about Jesus. How much did they learn? We don't know. But they learned a kernel of this and a kernel of that about Jesus, enough for the Holy Spirit to work faith in them so that they would call upon the Lord. And it's not about them anymore. It's about us. It's about sharing what we know, sharing what Jesus has done, leaving the outcome to God, but preparing people. You know, if someone had a heart attack right now, I don't think we would stand by idly. We would do what we needed to do, to go get the equipment that can revive the heart or call 911. How many people in our lives have no knowledge of salvation, unaware of what's coming their way, that they will have to face, and no one is warning them? No one is sharing with them the love of God. And that's what God would have you and me do. It was kind of ironic. Last Sunday, I was driving to the church building, and here came a squirrel out right in front of my car. I mean, right in front of the right passenger side tires. And I'm thinking, buddy, you don't even know your impending judgment. And it's here, and I need to warn you. So I honked the horn, and sure, you know, honked and jumped away. You know, that's the way you avoid hitting animals. Now, at least that's what my theory was until I went up to Mom's in Wyoming, thinking I could warn the elk off the road up in the Wind River Range of the Rocky Mountains. I'm thinking, well, there's just an elk. It was dark. It was really late. And I didn't realize I came up to a herd, and honking the horn just made all the herd want to run with me, okay? And I'm thinking, so I slowly slowed down, thinking, I can't believe I'm running with the elk herd. I had never done that in my life before, hope not to do it again, but they didn't hit. It was graceful to see them run off up into the rocks, and I kind of slowed down and regained my composure, dumped all my sunflower seeds in the, you know, front of the car. Well, you know, they dumped out of the bag. But, you know, it's interesting. Who are you honking at? Who are you warning? And you know, we don't want to just be the rain on the parade. It's more than just telling them that judgment day is coming. It's helping them be ready, letting them know that the Lord is coming back. And it's not a bad thing. It's going to usher in new things. I mean, talk with some of your unbelieving friends about how hard this world is. They'll agree. And help them to take comfort in the good news that that's not all there's going to be. But God has much more in store. And so, don't be afraid to honk. The ironic thing is, a couple of Advents now, I've had squirrels come out that I've had to honk at. Isn't that interesting? But squirrels are around more than just in the season of Advent. But go figure, I'd have to honk during Advent. But share the good news. Honk your spiritual horn. Let them know about God's plan of salvation, that they too may do more than dread judgment day and growing old and wearing out, but that they may see that God has much more in store through his Son, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.